You are listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Hello and welcome to Messenger Insight. We will continue our series exploring the Book of Revelation, which is an extension of a special edition of the Baptist Messenger, and I'm honored today to be speaking with Dr. Ben Merkel, Associate Professor of New Testament and Greek at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Hello there.
Hello.
Welcome to the broadcast. In your article, you did a superb job talking about the amillennial view of interpreting the Book of Revelation. For our listeners, would you be able to describe that a little and maybe define some important terms?
Sure. By the amillennial view, of course, we're talking about literally that word can be defined as no millennium, which sometimes is misleading. By that, what we mean is there's no future millennium. That is, we are currently in the millennium between the first advent of Christ and the second advent of Christ.
That clarifies quite a bit. And contrasting that with, let's say, the premillennial view, how would that differ?
Right. So with the premillennial view, Christ returns before the millennial kingdom. So his return, his second coming occurs, followed by the millennium. With an amillennial view, of course, we are in the millennium now, so it precedes the second coming of Christ.
You made an interesting statement in your article about symbolism, about figures that are used within the Book of Revelation that maybe aren't meant to take literally, but do point to literal realities. Could you unpack that a little bit and give us maybe an example?
Right. By that, what I mean is that in the Book of Revelation, the author John is using a figurative or symbolic language. This language is not meant to be taken literally, or what I sometimes call literalistically. Because by literal, the reformers, of course, meant that it should be interpreted according to the intent of the author.
Yes.
And a literalistic interpretation is one that maybe forces a literal interpretation on the text. So what I was suggesting is that the Book of Revelation, because of the very genre of the book itself being apocalyptic, being prophecy, should be interpreted figuratively or symbolically. Now, of course, there is a real meaning behind the symbolism, but the symbolism should not be pushed literalistically. So, for example, in Revelation 20, you have a vision that John is receiving, and he talks about an angel coming down from heaven, having a chain and a key to the abyss, and he's going to lock the dragon in the prison for 1,000 years. And so my point was, if you look at the symbolism there, a chain, a key, prison, a dragon, those are pictures of a literal reality. That is, Satan will be bound. But Satan is not a real dragon, and he's probably not going to be bound with a literal chain.
That clarifies quite a bit, and you mention in your article that Satan, another picture of him, is a roaring lion, but the good news is he's a lion on a leash. And you talk about the finished work of Christ on the cross. And could you explain a little bit why you believe the Book of Revelation actually offers good news and hope and is an encouraging book?
Right. You know, if you read the Book of Revelation, it's important to read it from the perspective of the original audience. And so here's John. He's offering encouragement. He's offering hope to his readers who are suffering persecution. And so John is writing to encourage them and let them know that it is God who is victorious, that Christ is the coming king who will defeat once and for all his enemies. Now, sometimes the idea of Satan being bound is difficult for people to accept because they look in the world and they say, is Satan really bound now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things going on. It seems like things are getting worse and worse. But in Revelation 20, John specifically tells us that Satan is bound so as not to deceive the nations. And if you look at the spread of the gospel to the nations, it's amazing that, you know, these nations that were once in darkness, now they have the gospel. And that if we think about what Christ has come, what he came to do in his first coming with his death and with his resurrection, that he once and for all defeated death, that even now he's the reigning king. So Satan is still out there. Satan is real and is persecuting believers. But Jesus is the reigning king. The author of Hebrews tells us that he is the one who is seated on the throne at the right hand of God. And so even now he is the reigning king. Satan might be the prince of the power of the air, but Jesus is the king.
Amen. Well said. And I liked how you pointed out this is not a anomaly view, that in your piece you stand in good company among Christians throughout the ages and Baptists, quite frankly.
Yeah, I began the article that way because I had a fear that perhaps in our modern context, some of the readers maybe are not familiar with this view. Maybe they, you know, think it's kind of foreign, or is it new? Where did it come from? But as I tried to show that it's actually the you know, the dominant eschatological position of Christians throughout history, and until recently, I'd say even including Baptists. And so, and I wanted to show that this is not strange. This is not strange medicine. This is actually a very historic view that that Baptists should not be afraid to embrace.
That's a fine point, and I would like to underscore that there was much in all of the pieces that were written, whether the preterist view or the dispensational view. There was so much unity that brought us together and pointed to Christ and accentuated the gospel. If our listeners were interested in maybe reading a little more about this view, would there be one or two works you could recommend?
Certainly, yeah. Ray Summers has written a commentary. It's a bit dated, maybe. It was written in 1951. But as coming from a Southern Baptist perspective, a professor at Southwestern, he wrote a book called Worthy is the Lamb. And he gives his interpretation of Revelation. And I think it's a very good book. I would also say another good book, a commentary, in studying, going a little bit deeper in the book of Revelation, is by Dennis Johnson, called Triumph of the Lamb. These two books, I think, are a good introduction to studying the book of Revelation.
Thank you for that. We've been speaking with Dr. Benjamin Merkel, who is Associate Professor of New Testament and Greek at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Merkel, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your scholarship. And blessings to you and your family. We appreciate you joining Messenger Insight broadcast today.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program in the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, visit baptistmessenger.com or find us in the iTunes Store.